Go in your Bibles with me to Acts 2. Team, can you stay? I ain't going to be very long. You want to stick around a little bit? Pop a squat right there. Grab a seat. Let's hang out. Acts chapter number 2. Everybody shout this and let me hear you say, ride the wave. Oh, I can't hear you back there in the back. Say, ride the wave. Go to Acts chapter 2 with me today. Acts chapter number 2. So Kristen and I were blessed a few years ago to go to Hawaii for our 10-year anniversary. Anybody ever been to Hawaii before? So basically, if I can describe Hawaii for you, it's heaven minus like 4 or 5, right? It's the most amazing place. And we got to go to a place called the North Shore. The North Shore is where the biggest surf competitions happen. Some of the biggest surf competitions in the world happen. We got to see where that took place. We got to see some of the sights and some of the beauty of that awesome place. And ever since I was a little kid, I've been fascinated with surfing. However, I tried to surf one time, and it just didn't quite work out because you have to have a thing called balance, and you have to have some level of athleticism, and I have neither of those things. And so it didn't work out too well for me. But a little boogie boarding, I'm fine with that. But a surfer has to learn how to ride the waves. I want you to say this after me. Say this after me. Are you ready? Say, a surfer doesn't produce it, he just rides it. Here's what the scripture says. Acts chapter number 2, verse 38 through 44. It says, Peter replied, repent, be baptized, every one of you, in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, for the forgiveness of your sins, and you will receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. Has anybody got the Holy Spirit living in you today? Amen. He said, this promise, what promise? The promise of the Holy Spirit is for your children and for all who are afar off, and for all whom the Lord our God will call. With many other words, he warned them and he pleaded with them. And he said, save yourselves from this corrupt generation. Those who accepted the message of baptism were baptized, about 3,000 people. 3,000 people were saved. They came to Jesus in one day. I read that and I said, Lord, do it again. Come on, somebody. I said, Lord, do it again. And it says they devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching and to fellowship, and to the breaking of bread and to prayer. And everyone was filled with awe at the many wonders and signs performed by the miracles. And all the believers were together and had great unity. One scripture says that, or version says, they had everything in common. How many of you love to go to the beach? Anybody love to go to the beach? So relaxing. You sit there by the waves. You sit there and you enjoy the sound of the waves, the crashing waves. It's relaxing to watch the waves. It's exciting to watch a surfer ride the waves, but it must be exhilarating to ride the wave yourself. Here's what I want you to understand today, the context of what we just read. In the scriptures, the book of Acts, what we just read, has often been called the Acts of the Apostles, but I don't like that phrase. I don't like that term. Because really, the book of Acts isn't about what the apostles did. The book of Acts is about what the Holy Spirit did through those apostles. You see, in Acts chapter number 2, God sent a wave called the Holy Spirit. That wave was sent by God to a group of people who were preparing their hearts for something different. When Jesus died and was resurrected, the lives of the disciples were turned upside down. And many times the disciples, if you look through scripture, tried to go out and to do what Jesus did on their own, and it didn't work out for them. But in Acts chapter number 2, something very powerful happened. The power of the Holy Spirit, like a wave, came crashing upon the hearts of believers. Please understand that up until this point, the Holy Spirit had never before lived inside of believers. The Bible tells us the Holy Spirit would come upon people and they would do great things. Let me give you an example of this. Samson. Everybody thinks that Samson was a muscle man. Everyone thinks that Samson had great muscles, big strength, that if you looked at him, he looked like a bodybuilder, like me. There was muscles just bulging out the way that I look in this pink shirt today. Come on, somebody help me preach today, right? I got news for you. Samson was not a muscle man. In fact, if Samson was walking around, he probably would not be wearing a Tay Williams cut-off t-shirt today to show, suns out, guns out. Some of y'all, I thought we were having an outdoor service, but for some of y'all, it's a gun show. Come on, somebody. Samson was not a muscle man. Samson was a common man. But the Bible tells us that when the Holy Spirit came upon him, when the Holy Spirit moved upon Samson, he did great and mighty things. David was a harp player. He loved to play his harp. And there were times where he would be sitting out on the hillside watching his sheep. And he would play the harp and nothing would happen. But sometimes, the Bible says, the Holy Spirit would move upon David. And when he played his harp, demon spirits, demonic powers were driven away from King Saul. You see, the power of the Holy Spirit, Jeremiah was a prophet. Jeremiah wrote many, many messages. But when the Holy Spirit came upon Jeremiah, he could predict the future with laser-like accuracy. You see, the Holy Spirit would come upon people and he would leave. But in Acts chapter number 2, a promise that was made by Jesus that you shall receive power after my Holy Spirit has come upon you came to pass in Acts chapter number 2. And the wave of the Holy Spirit began to flow in the life of the believers. So the believers had a responsibility. Here's your responsibility and my responsibility, because the wave is still rolling today. Some of you may wonder, how are waves created? A wave is created when the wind blows on the water and it creates momentum, and then the surfer knows which waves will create enough momentum for them to get on the wave. So in Acts chapter number 2, the wind of the Holy Spirit created a wave that sent the church forward to not only see 3,000 people saved, but then 5,000 people and 10,000 people. And before you knew it, there were hundreds of thousands of Christian people in an evil world that despised Christianity. And here's the question that I want to ask you today. I want to ask you if you believe that the Holy Spirit wave that started in Acts chapter number 2 has died. Has that wave that started many years ago come to an end? Has the wave that God sent that propelled the believers forward and brought great change and miracles, has the wave died? Well, I just want to declare to you today that we believe at Centerpoint Church that the wave of the Holy Spirit is still working and real today. The wave is still here. But the question is, are we going to watch the waves or are we going to jump all in? Now, I want to tell you, there's some people that are listening to me today online. There's some people listening to me today out here in the heat, and you've been watching the wave of the Holy Spirit move through your church. And instead of jumping in and getting involved in it and riding the wave and being all in, what you've been doing is standing on the shore and watching. But I got news for you. You're never going to live the life that God has planned for you. You're never going to see the miraculous take place in your heart. You're never going to experience the fullness of Jesus to just sit back and watch the wave. What God is calling you to do is to jump in and ride the wave and experience His Holy Spirit and let His power do what He does in your life. Somebody shout amen if you believe it. So now, what can you do as a believer? Here's what I believe. I believe everything that happened in Acts can happen today. Amen? I believe it can happen today. You say, what happened in the book of Acts? First off, hundreds of thousands of people simultaneously received the gospel of Jesus. If you read the book of Acts, in the book of Acts chapter number 10, people who they never thought would say yes to Jesus came to Jesus. Entire cities were turned upside down by the power of the Holy Spirit. People who were possessed of devils were freed. The devils were cast out of them by the power of the Holy Spirit. If you keep on reading in Acts chapter number 3, there was a paralyzed man who sat outside of the gate of the temple. And everyone who came in, the Jewish people who came to the temple, would beg, please, will you give me money? Will you give me something? Will you give me some coins? Will you give me some food? Peter and John were going to the temple on the Sabbath day to pray. And Peter and John, who were riding the wave of the Holy Spirit, walked up to a man who was paralyzed. And the paralyzed man said to them, "Can you give me something?" Peter and John didn't have any money in their pockets that day, because in those days it wasn't very popular to be a preacher. And actually, you were marginalized. You were persecuted. And all of them were put to their death because of their faith in Christ. But Peter and John, broke as a joke, walking into the temple on Sabbath day, looked at the lame man and said, "You know what? We don't have any silver or gold to give you, but what we do have is the power in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ." What they do have is they said, "We're riding a wave of the Holy Spirit, and we're able to do the same miracles that Jesus did. We're able to touch you and make you whole." And the Bible tells us that Peter and John reached and touched this man who was paralyzed, and it doesn't say the man got up. It says the man leaped to his feet, and he began leaping and shouting and rejoicing. God gave him his legs back, not because Peter and John were great, but because the wave of the Holy Spirit they were riding was great. Amen. So you're sitting here today and you want to say, how do I make sure, how do I invite the Holy Spirit to be a part of my life? Here's what I foresee for many of you. You want the power of the Holy Spirit. When you talk to your friends about Jesus, when you witness, when you pray for people, you want something to happen, right? We still believe in the miraculous. We still believe in souls being saved and lives being restored and people being delivered. We still believe in that. But what's one thing that we can do to make sure that the wave is always rolling, that the wave is always crashing at Center Point Church? There's many things that we can do, but I want to give you one of them. Are you ready? One thing that we as leaders, we as singers and worship leaders, you as the members and the attenders of Center Point, there's one thing that we can do to make sure the Holy Spirit is always here. And you know what that is? Talk about Jesus. I want to say it again. I want you to say it with me. Come on, say, talk about. Oh, come on. Some of you back there, I can't hear you. Say, talk about Jesus. That's the takeaway today. You say, what are you talking about, Pastor? I don't understand what you're saying. Here's what I'm saying. In the New Testament, in the book of Acts, specifically, if you look at it, what you're going to see is one of the common denominators of the power of the Holy Spirit showing up in people's lives is when they begin to have conversations about Jesus. They would begin to talk about Jesus with people out in the world. They would begin to share Jesus. Now, how can 120 people turn into millions in the Eastern world when Nero and Domitian and all of these evil people were trying to destroy Christianity? How did it grow? What was their message? They didn't preach health, wellness, and prosperity. They didn't preach seven steps to success. They didn't talk about nine ways to live your best life. They didn't preach about 12 steps to having a better family. That's not what the conversation was, and there's times and places for that. But if you look at the New Testament in the book of Acts, the way that they rode the wave of the Holy Spirit is they talked about Jesus. They talked about his power. They talked about his perfection. They talked about his resurrection. They talked about the power of Jesus, and the power of Jesus in their conversation invited the power of the Holy Spirit into their lives. The Bible says that Jesus showed up in the lives of two disciples in Luke 24:15. It says that while they were talking about him, Jesus himself drew near. I want to tell you that when we talk about Jesus, the Holy Spirit shows up. And I just got to stop and I got to just preach to you today and preach to our neighbors today. And I want to tell you what I believe with my whole heart. I believe that the enemy, the devil, the real enemy of our souls, has tricked God's people into believing that it is our responsibility to constantly have an opinion about things in the world, as opposed to giving the gospel of Jesus and speaking about Jesus to the world. I don't want to step on anybody's toes today, but I want to tell you that we as Christian people, we're not called to talk about politics, and our calling is not to talk about the weather, and our calling is not to talk about all of the things going on in the world. Our calling is to make Jesus the centerpiece of our conversations. And I just want to tell you, can I be honest with you this morning and tell you, I'm sick of hearing about Joe Biden. I'm sick of hearing about Donald Trump. I'm sick of hearing about Congress and Senate. I'm sick of hearing about COVID-19. I'm sick of hearing about coronavirus. I'm sick of hearing about masks or no masks. I'm sick of it. I'm sick of it. I'm sick of it. I believe God is calling us to start having conversations about Jesus. God is calling us back to who we are. I feel like God is calling us today to talk about Jesus. Come on, shout that back at me. Say, talk about, oh, I can't hear you. Come on, say, talk about Jesus. Let me tell you, if we talk constantly about other things, the world won't know who our Savior is, our Lord is, our King is. Can I tell you today that all the Scripture is about Jesus? Did you know that? You say, what's the Old Testament about? It's all about Jesus. Everything you read in Scripture points to Jesus. How do I know that? Because of John. The book of John, chapter number 5, it tells us in 39, Jesus told his disciples, he said, you've been reading the Old Testament. You've been searching the Old Testament Scriptures because you think you're going to find eternal life in those Scriptures. But Jesus said, don't you know that the Scriptures point to me? In other words, when you're reading about the Passover lamb in the book of Exodus, you're not reading about the Passover lamb, you're reading about Jesus. When you read about David and Goliath, you're not reading about David and Goliath. You're reading about Jesus and Calvary. When you read about Abraham getting ready to slay his own and one and only son, what you're really seeing is the Father being willing to allow his son to go to a cross. I want to tell you that everything is about Jesus, and God is calling the members and the attenders of Centerpoint Church, those who are watching us today, to get back to talking about Jesus. Because he shows up where he is magnified, where he is exalted, where he is talked about. He will always show up. I want to end by telling you throughout the Bible who Jesus is today. In Genesis, Jesus is the sovereign creator and the bread of life. He's the seed of woman. In Exodus, he's the Passover lamb. In Leviticus, Jesus is the tabernacle and the great high priest. In Numbers, Jesus is the pillar of cloud by day and the fire by night. In Deuteronomy, Jesus is the prophet like unto Moses. And in Joshua, he's the commander of the Lord's army and the victory in battle. In Judges, Jesus is the supernatural strength of Samson. And in Ruth, he's the kinsman redeemer. In 1 and 2 Samuel, he's the trusted prophet and faithful priest. And in Kings and Chronicles, he is the sovereign Lord. In Ezra, Jesus is the true and faithful scribe. And in Nehemiah, he's the rebuilder of broken walls. In Esther, Jesus is Mordecai's courage. In Job, he's the timeless redeemer. In Psalms, he is the morning song. And in Proverbs, Jesus is our wisdom. In Ecclesiastes, Jesus is the time and season. In Song of Solomon, he's the lover's dream. In Isaiah, he's the prince of peace. And in Jeremiah, he's the weeping prophet. In Lamentations, he's the cry of Israel. In Ezekiel, he's a call away from sin. In Daniel, Jesus is the stranger, the fourth man in the fire. And in Hosea, he's the forever faithful king. In Joel, he's the power of the Holy Spirit. And in Amos, he's the strong arms that carry you. In Obadiah, Jesus is Lord and Savior. And in the book of Jonah, he's the great compassionate missionary. In Micah, Jesus is the promise of peace. And in Nahum, he's the strength and shield. In Habakkuk and Zephaniah, he's the bringer of revival. In Haggai, he restores that which is lost. In Zechariah, he's our fountain. And in Malachi, he's the sun of righteousness rising with healing in his wings. In Matthew, Mark, and Luke, he's the Son of Man. But in John, he's the Son of God. In the book of Acts, he is the raining fire from heaven. And in Romans, he is the grace of God. In Corinthians, Jesus is the power of love. And in Galatians, he's the freedom from the curse of sin. In Ephesians, Jesus is our glorious treasure. And in Philippians, he's the servant's heart. In Colossians, Jesus is our God and part of the Holy Trinity. And in Thessalonians, he is our calling king. Are you with me here today? In Timothy, Jesus is, in Titus and Philemon, he's the mediator and our faithful pastor. And in Hebrews, he's our everlasting courage to come before the throne of grace. In James, he's the healer of the one who's sick. And in 1st and 2nd Peter, he's our faithful shepherd. In John and in Jude, he's the lover who's coming for his bride. But in the book of Revelation, in the very end, when everything is said and done and time is no more, Jesus is and will be the King of Kings, the Lord of Lords, the Prince of Peace, the Son of Man, the Lamb of God, the Great I Am, the Alpha and Omega, the Savior. He's Jesus, and he's the one we should be talking about today. He makes crooked paths straight. He heals broken hearts. He breaks chains of bondage. He destroys strongholds of the mind. He heals rifts between family members and friends. He brings prodigals home. He's the peace to the disturbed mind. He can lift up the bowed head, and he can sustain the weary soul. He can lift you up from where you are and resurrect you from the dead. That's who Jesus is. And if you believe it, let me hear you shout amen. Someone shout amen. So our job is to trust and believe and take hold of and receive the reality of who Jesus is. And when we focus our lives on Jesus, we come back to Jesus. The Holy Spirit has no choice but to send the wave right through Center Point Church. And I believe it's going to happen in Jesus' name. Let's stand together all over the building, or all over this parking lot, rather. I love you so much for coming out today. Let me tell you something. For many of us, through the last few weeks or few months, we've strayed away from Jesus. And what happens when we stray is that we're backing off from the wave of the Holy Spirit that wants to take us forward. Listen, we don't produce the wave. What do? We just ride it. There's nothing we can do to create the power of the Holy Spirit. Listen, the power of the Holy Spirit is already here. He's already moving. Our job is to just jump in head first. And that's what we want to do today.